Previously on Backlog Commandos.
A little bit, but I've kind of fallen the story, though, which is weird.
The story is really strange.
Yeah. I read up on it, and, like, I turned on the subtitles, because, like, there's something going on here. This is, like, very Portal-esque, just very, like, they're not telling you. They're kind of, like, dropping little bits as you go.
Sure.
Just, like, you'll have, like, this narrator talking to you while you're doing the tracks, like, either male or female, and just talking about weird, obscure things.
Welcome to Backlog Commandos. I'm your host, Cole Monroe, and with me today, as always, is Kenny Lucas. How are you doing today, Kenny?
Doing good. How are you, man?
Good. Are you ready to talk about some Link Between Worlds?
Yes. I beat the game, so yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, well, you're just getting right into it, aren't you? All right. Well,
So we made a prediction last time. Yeah. I said I thought we would beat it, and I was half right.
Yeah, you were half right, and I was all the way right, because I knew I wasn't going to beat it. And in fact, I barely played it. There was a moment in time where I was ahead of you.
Yeah, there was. You were like
I was like dungeons. A couple dungeons ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And now I'm still on the fourth dungeon.
Yeah.
No, I just beat the first low roll dungeon.
Okay, so you did four dungeons.
Yeah, four dungeons. But anyway, let's back up before we talk more shit about me not finishing. So I just want to give, you know, a reminder of what Backlog Commandos is. It's where we pick a game each month and try to beat it within the month.
Mm-hmm.
We might be successful, we might not be.
We may not be.
Apparently, the pattern here is that you're successful and I'm not.
Yep, that's okay.
So that's the gist of Backlog Commandos, and let's get back into
it. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about like in depth and do some spoilers, as much as you can spoiler Zelda.
Yeah.
Spoiler
really.
Zelda.
Yeah, is Zelda even spoilerable at this point?
I don't know. I think some people really get into the lore of like what happens at the very end of the game.
Fair. I guess that's fair. Like, are you going to fight Ganon?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, probably.
And where it fits in the timeline and how all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want to get really into the lore of Zelda, buy that big-ass green book that they put out, Dark Horse put out. It's a nice...
That's a nice book.
It's a nice package. I got that a couple years ago.
Nice package.
Zelda and Link have nice packages. So yeah, I did not finish four dungeons. You finished.
I did.
Probably about a week ago.
Yeah.
A little over a week ago.
I'm an overachiever, so.
What was your favorite part?
So I really like the different approach of the open world. I really like the ability to... 'cause I think what happens with me in Zelda is that there's usually a one predefined path you have to go down. And once you don't know what that path is, it's just, it kind of sucks. Like you, because, you know, like, take like Ocarina of Time. Like you had to get up, what's the Thunder Mountain? Death Mountain?
Death Mountain.
Death Mountain. And there's only one really way to get up there. And if you were having problems, you were just stuck, right?
Or if you fell off, you'd have to keep going.
Yeah, back right. Up over, fucking over boulders kept going down, yeah. Right? So this game, I really like the approach. Like you could just kind of wander around and just kind of find yourself in a dungeon. And you were usually pretty well equipped to take on that dungeon. If you, you know, kind of kept up with what you can rent in the game.
So my question for you is, did you carry all the items all the time?
I did too. I carried all the items all the time. Maybe I didn't always carry the ice rod or fire rod because I didn't always...
You don't always need it.
Yeah, but they're expensive. So yeah. I was like, everything else I always had on me.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about this version of the Zelda franchise is you didn't have to go to a specific order of dungeons to get the weapon to beat the boss in that dungeon at that time. You had to take a certain item to that dungeon to complete it, but you could rent it or eventually buy it. What's his name? Ravi?
Ravio.
Ravio.
Ravioli.
Yeah. Chef Boyardee. and then it allowed every dungeon... Every dungeon was open from the beginning, and it allowed you to pick and choose where you wanted to go. Now, there is probably a proper way to go about the
game. There's like an optimal way to go
There is the Mega Man optimal way to beat all the bosses, I'm sure. So the first time I played it, I don't even remember how far I got, but I ended up in the ice dungeon on Death Mountain in Low Rule, whatever it's called.
That's a tough one.
And it's really freaking hard.
That's really tough, yeah.
So I think that's kind of where I got stuck and just stopped. And then so this time I I was like, let's try a different path. Okay, I got the sand rod. I should probably go to the desert palace. Mm-hmm. And then I did. And that's the one I've beaten so far.
So that's actually pretty interesting. Because once you go over to low rule, like, the difficulty spikes a bit, sure. Right? But they do a pretty good job of keeping actually the easiest dungeons, like, in the middle. And mm-hmm. the harder ones near the fringes. The one that you're probably not going to go by as much just because, like, you're not walking around.
I never got that, like, corollary. Because mm-hmm. the desert dungeon is fairly hard to get to.
And figure out
how do you get there.
Yeah, that's probably the one engine I had. That one and the ice engine I had the hardest time figuring out, like, how do you even get in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems like the harder ones are located near the edge, and, like, the ones are kind of more accessible were right in the middle.
Okay.
So I think it's probably by design, like, it's easier to get to those easier ones.
Well, yeah, like, the thief dungeon in the first town is, like, super easy.
And, like, I think it's, like, the water dungeon, not very hard.
Okay, I'm going to
check that. And also gives you, like, a really good upgrade for, like, the half-damage tunic,
I need to get, because Lorule is hard. That's one thing that I put in the notes is, like, this game, above any other game, has me, like, preparing before I go into dungeons of getting, and, you know, I have two bottles. Mm-hmm. Filling those bottles up with one with fairies, one with like a red potion or a blue potion, just being over prepared because I know I'm gonna take a lot of damage.
So I actually feel it's kind of the opposite. Cause,
really?
Yes. So because I guess it might have been the way I went through the dungeons, because I went through, I did like the I think it's the water dungeon first, which mm-hmm. gives you that tunic. And by doing the dungeon first, like, a lot of the game was a lot easier. So like, because it gives you a tally at the end of the game, like, how many times you died. And I only died twice the entire game. And that's not to say, like, I'm good at Zelda. I usually really struggle with it. But I didn't have a lot of difficulty with the game overall.
Right.
And I think it might be just been the approach of, like... Because, like, Link to the Past is, like, you can go left, down, up, right. With the analog movement of the game, like, it makes it a lot easier to just kind of sidestep bosses, get around.
Get behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, that made the game a lot easier, even though it still had the trappings of, like, Link to the Past.
Sure.
Which
is my favorite Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is up there. This is probably 1B to Link to the Past is 1A. That's what I've played so far.
I think my favorite probably is still Ocarina of Time, because it's probably, like, my first big one.
Yeah, and I think the first one... Well, that's not true, because Zelda 2 was actually my first one. And mm-hmm. I love that game, and I know a lot of people don't like it, and people think I'm crazy. But I think once Link to the Past came out, it was all over for me. And I, like, play it, a little bit of it, like, every year, just to get that taste. But now, this will, like, quench my thirst, you know?
Cause it's like a new modern take.
Yeah. So, okay, so you're telling me I need to go get the blue tunic for half damage, and it'll be easier.
It'll be a lot
easier. And I haven't been dying at all. Mm-hmm. It's just... because of I know how much damage I take, like, I know I'm over preparing.
You have to be extra cautious. Yeah.
What else, like, what do you think?
So one thing,
the dungeons.
So I feel like the dungeons were, I don't know, I think a part of it was because you still have that top down perspective, like a Link to the Past, and you have everything available to you. Like, it just, everything seems so streamlined. Because, again, like all Zelda games, like, you walk in, you know what item you're going to be using 95% of the time, and still holds true here. So I felt like the dungeons weren't really confusing. Like, there's really, like, a good flow to them. So I'm not saying it's good that they were easy, but I'm saying, like, it felt very natural to go through them, you know? Because usually, you have to find a map, then you have to find a compass. This one, you only had to find a compass, and everything was revealed to you. So just having all that information up front made it a lot easier to, you know, navigate, figure out where to go.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. There were times, though, like, where it was, you know, I was stuck. Like, it was clear that I didn't know what I was doing. But then if I just, like, waited it out, stuck around, like, looked around, and then all the time, there's the other night I was playing before I went to bed, and I was just like, oh my god, like, it was just right in front of my face this whole time, and it was just so obvious that I needed to use the sand rod, but it just didn't click for a while, you know, and I was like, how do I get there, oh yeah, and then, like, the whole getting onto walls, you know, like,
sometimes, that's a weird mechanic.
It is a weird mechanic, and you don't always remember how to use it.
Yeah, so there are these,
it reminds me of Portal, like, when you're playing Portal, you have a fucking portal gun, but sometimes you forget that you have a portal gun. It's like, oh, that's how I get there, like, I can shoot into that wall and I can come out of this wall. But, you know, when they introduce different things to you, like different puzzles or cubes, like, you kind of put that mechanic out of your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
When it's like the most obvious thing to do at that
point. Especially when you have so many items available to use. Like, yeah. You'd go through, because like, you know, you have like, I don't know, like 10 items up front that you can use. And this is like, oh yeah, I can just do this. And boom, there you go.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, there's the, solve the problem.
So you try to think of like 10 different ways to approach
it. Right. What else? What else?
I had a really good thought, and I was thinking, what was that thought? You.
So yeah, like we talked about the difficulty level, whereas I think it's like low rule is definitely a lot harder than the light world, high rule. You know, the dark world is enemies are more difficult.
Yeah,
like they take a lot more swipes of the sword. Like I've resorted to using a lot of arrows just to make distance from some of these enemies. But they're not always stronger, you know, like than the sword. Like, what do you think about like the upgrade mechanic of the sword and the all the other weapons with the Mai-Mais and then the sword order?
It's okay. I mean, I feel the sword order was good because like I stumbled upon my first one just like, oh hey, this is a thing. But then like, you know, I had to kind of, this is where I actually looked on the guide and said, okay, where's the next sword or so I can make my life easier.
Yeah.
You know, but it did, again, that also made the game a lot easier, especially made like some of the bosses easier. Cause like, you know, later on, like the very last dungeon, spoiler alert, you fight some bosses over again.
Okay.
Like classic.
That makes sense.
Classic Zelda style. Yeah. And it was really surprising. Like, it's like how much easier they were. Yeah. It's just like go up, whack, 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 boom.
Well, I will say this. I haven't finished. That's been clear. Like I'm getting more excited to go back and play it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool. I mean, I love the game. It was,
yeah.
Like, I don't know why I stopped playing last time, but it's...
I know why I stopped. I got to the ice fucking dungeon, yeah. And then I didn't have the blue tunic, and it was just too hard.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad, like, because I feel there might have been a couple spots where I would just, like, you know, stop playing, but, like, checking a guide real quick just kind of got me on the right path, and...
Yeah.
Get me going. So.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we're going to be doing with this series is like
cheat. We're
trying to finish,
you always know, be cheating.
So we can talk about it. And if cheating is what we need to do, then we got to cheat.
I don't think it's cheating.
It's not cheating. It's like just pointing us in the right direction.
It's like finding a person on the internet and saying, "Hey, bro, how do I do this?"
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to finishing it, and I love it. Like, the 3D is great. I haven't been playing with it on that much, just because I move around a lot and I lose focus and, you know, hurts my eyes after a while.
I find the 3D is very good, though. I mean...
In all the Nintendo games so far, it's been great.
It is very good. But I just found I didn't play it either, because I have an old 3DS and the field of vision is really bad on that.
Yeah.
So I just, yeah. And, like, because I usually play in bed, you know, 3DS above my head, and it just becomes very hard to keep it steady, so... Yeah. It was nice playing a portable game for like our first game club, because it just makes it a lot easier for like, okay, I'll play 10 minutes here, 20 minutes here, and just be able to pick up, like, you know, it's not revolutionary, but be able to just close the lid and, you know, right back where you started. That's really nice.
Yeah. So let's go back to the Link to the Past familiarity before we kind of wrap things up.
So like one thing, the Link to the Past thing is like, I think it might have just been like a lot easier to navigate the world and made the game just kind of easier, just because I knew where things were by, okay, this is where the town is linked to the past. That's where also the stuff is. This is where this is, you know, like I don't always have the exact comparisons of like, it's been a while, maybe a couple years since I played it. Like, okay, you get this here. And I don't think it was that direct.
Right.
But like just a general sense of direction of like how you navigate the world. Like, so like the water, you know, getting the flippers for the yes, exactly,
to get to the what was that, the air,
yeah,
the spinny air
yes,
tool,
exactly,
to get to that.
Yeah. And like, because I remember when I first played Link to the Past, like I thought that was just so obtuse, like how am I ever supposed to figure this out, right? And because I played that when I was older too, like maybe 17, 18.
Okay.
But like this time I was like, okay, this is what happened, Link to the Past, so I can probably just do this again, and yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I love the familiarity of it, but like the minute changes that they made, of like, for the second bottle that I got, I was like checking under the bridge by Hyrule Castle,
because
that's where you get it in Link to the Past, and it's not there. But then you swim around and you find a guy camping up under a different bridge. And I was like, oh, these motherfuckers. I was like, yes, this is great. Like, the callbacks are there,
yes,
but just change slightly.
that you just don't know exactly where.
So it's not like the same thing over and over again. And the dungeons are obviously different, but the music.
Music is really good in this game.
Music is so good.
Super good. Yeah, I usually don't play with music played on, but I always, you know, but this one actually.
The full orchestra of the Hyrule and Lorule of remixes of the Link to the Past music, like, it's just.
It's very good.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. We could listen to it right now, but no.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how it will play over the microphones.
So, like, it's in, you know, the thing is, though, with Zelda games in general is that, so Skyward Sword had like the longest opening ever, like 4 or 5 hours before you really got to kind of free yourself of the tutorials. And it was interesting because I was playing like the first Zelda because I'd never played it before as a kid, but my wife, that was like one of her games she had. I mean, and I don't think she knew how, like, the significance of how big a game it was, but she like knew it backwards and back and forth, you know, backwards and forward.
Sure.
So she knew, like, so we played it through maybe like couple years ago, and she was like manning it the whole way. Like,
I was about the first Legend,
very Zelda. First Zelda, Legend of Zelda. And she was playing it. She was playing it. I was just kind of watching.
Talk about obtuse.
Yes, exactly. Like, but I kind of love that. Like, yeah. It's just like you're kind of thrown in the world. You have no idea what's going on, and there's just some puzzles in there that are just so fucking crazy. Like, how would ever a kid ever figure this stuff out?
Like the Lost Woods. How the hell did you figure that out?
Like, where you have to go, like, up, left.
Yeah.
And, like, that just seems like the most maddening thing.
That's because Nintendo Power was around. That's why.
I guess so. But, I mean, I really appreciate the fact that you just basically jump into the world and start playing. And there's no one talking to you. There's no story set up. And that's just, like, you know, the time, right?
Sure.
Like, there's no production values. They don't have... There's, nobody's got time for that. Nobody's got money for that. But... I even found myself in Link Between Worlds being frustrated, like, at the beginning, just, like, all the talking, all the story setup, like, even though it was pretty minimal, it's maybe, like...
Very minimal.
30 minutes, maybe. But I still just found myself, like, wanting that Zelda, Legend of Zelda original experience to just, like...
Just drop me in.
Yeah. I know what's going on.
So, I actually played Legend of Zelda for to completion maybe last year or 2 years ago. I bought it on 3DS on Virtual Console. Excuse me, and I had to look at a guide.
Yeah,
straight up the whole game. The whole game. I was like, okay, which path do I need to take? All right, how do I solve this puzzle? Like, I just had a guide open next to me, and I didn't like read and play at the same time. But I was like, all right, I'm stuck. How do I get out of here? And it's really a hard game.
And you didn't play it as a kid, right?
I played it as a kid, but not as much as Zelda 2.
Okay.
Like, Zelda 2 was my game.
Right.
That was my first Zelda game. And I had traded with my neighbors to play the original Legend of Zelda, but it wasn't something that I spent a whole lot of time on. Mm. So I didn't know, like, all the secrets. Like, I knew, like, oh, if you place, like, a bomb here, like, one path will open up. Like, I knew some of that stuff just from watching my friends play and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, I do enjoy, like, getting dropped in and, like, say, hey, just figure it out. And Link Between Worlds does have some of that, more so than a Zelda game has in a while.
Especially, like, like...
Wind Waker's the same way, especially, yes, like, the Wii release. It's like, just let me play. I don't want to know all this stuff.
That's a big reason, like, I haven't played... Because I pushed through Skyward Sword. It's like, okay, this is the new Zelda. I got to get through this. I know this has a bad tutorial. What's it called? Skyward...
Which one? Skyward Sword?
No, the other one. The GameCube one.
Wind Waker,
yeah. I stopped playing just because, like, I couldn't bear it. Yeah. And, like, I love that game. I remember playing through it, and, like, it's such a beautiful, refreshing take on Zelda, but just, again, that opening tutorial and story setup is just overbearing for me.
Well, let's hope this new one looks incredible. Let's hope they just kind of drop us in and they've learned lessons of the past, which... They're saying the right things at this point.
I mean, there's a lot of really cool things like
and like I think Link Between Worlds is the good transition point from a Skyward Sword to whatever the new one's going to be on Wii.
And like, so what is the new one? Like, it's supposed to be like more open.
It's supposed
world
to be open world. So like, they're talking like Skyrim comparisons, but with Zelda. So we'll see.
That could be.
We'll see
cool.
how much they're promising and not delivering.
And they're have they confirmed that it's? They haven't even talked about like whether it's a female.
No.
I mean,
That's just all, like, I think that's all speculation from, like, this E3 trailer.
Because that would be amazing. I would actually love that.
Like, yeah.
It would be such a refreshing take on it, because, like, you know.
Especially with everything going on in the
world. Yeah, this is, you know, even aside from that, like, yeah. I think it would be super cool.
Yeah. So. All right. So I think we're done with, well, you're done with A Link Between Worlds. I'm going to try and do my best this holiday weekend, because we're recording this before Thanksgiving. I don't know when this will go up, but I'm going to try to get it done before start of work on Monday.
Yeah, you should, like, you know, the story takes some interesting twists. You know, I think, like, because you only seen the Thief Dungeon, right?
Thief's Dungeon, Desert Dungeon. Okay. I finished, yeah.
Like, all the other dungeons are really good. Like,
I finished, by the way, that Desert Dungeon boss, holy shit, like, where you have to, like, sand to go to different platforms and attack him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I finished it with... used 2 jars of health. I had 2 hearts left.
Oh, really?
That's when I was like,
I think it was pretty similar to that too. Yeah. I remember it was like, that was pretty, like, you know, knowing what to do wasn't hard, but just doing it was tough.
And I hadn't saved in a while, because usually, like, because of my, you know, over preparation with the hearts and the fairies and stuff, or the potions and the fairies, I would, when they throw that dungeon portal out to you, like, after you beat, like, the mini boss, I would always go out and save, and I did not do it this time, and I was so freaking I was gonna be so freaking mad, because I would have had to do the dungeon all over again.
That sucked,
and that part sucks. All right,
so I'll say one thing.
Yeah,
the one thing I hate the most in the game was Lost Woods. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
But so you remember Ocarina of Time, the hand that would come down?
Yes.
The shadow dungeon?
Yes.
I fucking hated that.
Yeah.
And it's back.
Okay.
I fucking hate it. It's just creates this, like, weird tension of, like...
Well, the hand originally showed up in Link to the Past, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to say.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, it was in the first one.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in the very first
one. Yeah. Well, I hate that mechanic.
Yeah, and I do. And I did play through the Lost Woods on my first trial run, so I remember that. Yeah.
It's this, because I remember just, like, in other games, it's just like, once that hand grabs you, you're done.
You're done.
This one is actually, you can kind of fend it off a bit, but F the hand, I hate that thing.
Yeah, all right, so I'm going to finish it.
Yes.
At some point. I'm terrible.
Should we take bets?
Take bets. By the time we record our next podcast, I will be done for sure.
But you may not be done the next game.
I'm going to try.
We should keep the running tally. So yeah, Kenny 1,
Coleman 0. Yep. All right. Yep. All right. So before we go, let's talk about some entertainment that we've been watching lately. What have you been into?
So I've been watching a lot of TV with the wife. And so... kind of stumbled upon a TV show called Bones.
Just stumbled upon a 10-year-old TV show.
10-year-old TV show. I mean, Netflix says I would really like it, so I was like, okay, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
I don't really like procedural or dramas or investigative. Like, I wasn't into House. I wasn't into, like, Law & Order. It was kind of a hybrid of the two.
Sure.
But... my wife, on the other hand, loves both of those shows, loves that kind of stuff. So I started watching it, and I was actually really started to like it, just because, like, I feel like this show, like, compared to others, it's a bit more House, like, where the supporting cast actually has personalities.
They're quirky.
They're funny, exactly. And, you know, like, the two leads, like...
Brennan and Bones.
Yeah, Brennan and Bones. They're both, like...
No, that's the same person. Dr. Brennan is Bones.
It's the Bones and Booth.
Booth, yeah.
It's Bones and Booth. Like, they're both, like, you know, likable characters. And, you know, just it still has, like, gore, gross factor. Yeah, like,
it does.
So have you watched any?
Oh, yeah. I've watched, like, I've dropped off the last couple of years because I was like, all right, enough. I probably watched the first six.
Really? Seasons. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like, we've been really enjoying it. And it's kind of like our go-to, like, TV show right now.
Yeah, and I'm on past podcasts, I know I've talked about it, because I enjoy it. It's just like, at a certain point, it was just like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
My wife still watches it.
Oh, but, yeah.
I'm done.
It's really interesting watching it, like, 10 years after the fact, because you kind of know some things that happens, like, they, you know, fall in love, get married.
Okay, so what season are you on?
We're on season 4, so we got to the big reveal of, like...
of who the killer was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy, right?
Blew my mind, yeah.
Yeah, like, I did not expect that.
I kind of... like, I remember watching the episode saying... because, like, every episode I make a prediction, like, no, this is what happened. This is this person. And I was like... Yeah, I think he did it himself. I think, and I was right. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I did not expect that at all. But yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It was a good twist, too. Yeah. Like, you know, like, because I remember looking at IMDb to seeing, like, how long he was on the show for. He's like, oh, he's only on for so long. It's like, oh, no.
Have you gotten to the, well, I want to say, what's her name? The Gravedigger? Is that what her name? Serial killer is?
Mm. No.
Did you ever watch The Wire?
No.
Okay, it was an actor that was on The Wire, and she's a serial killer as well.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting.
So we're going to keep watching that for sure.
Cool. So something I've been into lately is, I just watched it on Saturday, was Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
And always been a fan of, like, Pixar and Disney animation stuff. But this one just is, like, it's one of my favorite movies probably of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
You like it that much?
Yeah. Wow. Like, I might have not expressed that, like, yesterday or today when we were talking about it, but... Like, I don't buy a lot of movies, but as I was walking out of the theater, I was like, I'm going to buy it. Because it was just so, you know, it had the feels. Yeah. It had the laughs. It
had the laughs, yeah.
It had the action. It had superheroes. A fucking Stan Lee's in it.
He is?
Yeah. Did you stay for the post-credit scene?
No, I didn't stay for that. No.
So I won't say spoil it, but, like, well, he's Fred's dad in the picture. Like, if you look at the pictures of when they go to Fred's house, yeah, like, you see Stan Lee as his dad.
So. I mean, there's really interesting, because, like, this is a Marvel, Big Hero 6 is a Marvel property.
Right, originally.
Yes, yeah, so it was, like, a 5 or 6 issue miniseries, like, 4 or 5. It's really obscure that they made this a superhero movie. But, like, even though it's not super, super tied into the Marvel universe, there are touches all around the movie. Like, I remember when they go to, it's a Fred's house, it's the nerd.
The lizard guy.
Yeah, lizard guy. They go to his house, and, like, you see, like, the characters on the back wall, and there's, like, some very obscure, like, Marvel villains in the background. Okay. Like, there's this character named Black Talon. There's another character called, like, Sleepwalker. Like, these are characters no one has cared for about in, like, 20, 30 years, and, like, are considered, like, B-grade villains in the Marvel Universe. And I thought that was really interesting that they kind of threw those in. So.
Yeah, so, like, the post-credit sequence is, like, they basically set up a spin-off movie.
Oh, really?
They could. Yeah, they could. Oh. Which is going to be cool, too.
I like that, too. I should have seen that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's online now.
Yeah.
But, and then, like, just the little hints they had throughout the movie, of, like, Stitch was on the wall of Hero's house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a picture.
Oh, you're really
into from
that.
Lilo and Stitch. Yeah, John, actually, one of our coworkers pointed it out to me. But yeah, I really loved it. Like, the tech that they used to make it is incredible.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie. And, like,
yeah, beautiful.
And, like, it's paced well. I mean, it's, you know, it's a kid's movie, so it's kind of
obvious, like, who the villain is. Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I kind of see the villain coming. Like,
I did. You know? I won't say it's that guy.
But, you know, like, I knew the story arc immediately. Like, okay, well, this is going to happen, you know. But it's just, I wish we had movies like that when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. And maybe there were out there, but I was too busy watching RoboCop and stuff.
I'm pretty sure you're busy watching Aladdin.
Yeah, I did see Aladdin in the theater. All right, what else before we go? One more thing you've been into.
So we've been playing a board game called Coup. So it's not even a board game, it's a card game. And so the basic premises of Coup is that everyone gets 2 cards, and their 2 cards basically grants them the ability to do a certain thing in the game. So, like, you can take money from the bank, you can take money from another person, you can assassinate someone, and there are probably, like, maybe 6 or 7 different character ability cards. But the thing is, like, you can, even though you have those 2 cards that grant you those abilities, you can actually say whatever you want. Yeah. So you can be a person that steals money and a person that assassinates, but then you can also be a person that like, would protect you against being assassinated. So it becomes a game of, like, bluffing and keeping track of who's who and, like, deception and lies.
And anyone can call, like, bullshit on anybody else. So, like, so you're posing, you could either portray your actual cards or pose as another card. So we played with 6 people today at lunch, and it was a lot harder with 6 people.
Really?
Yeah, because, or maybe it was easier, because if you were an ambassador, you could check out what the cards were in the thing, and there's only 3 cards in there.
Yeah, so you can kind of
figure out, like, okay, you're claiming Duke, you're claiming Duke, you're claiming Duke, but I have a Duke, so one of you guys is, like, it's kind of like a narrowing down process.
Yes.
But it's a lot of fun. Games are quick. We can play, like, 3 or 4 games on an hour lunch break, which is, you know, great.
Pretty, like, you know, it's hard to do, like, with most board games.
And what's funny is, like, we play with the same people all the time, so, like, things carry over from game to game. So, like, if I assassinated Kenny, and then he came back at me and assassinated me to take me out of the game, whereas I only killed one of his players. Like, I might hold that against him for the next game and then go after him in the next game. But it's, and then it's really cool too, is like when you try to set things up and the people who you're trying to set, not set up in a bad way, but like try, you want them to make this certain move and you set it up that way, and when they do it, it's really satisfying. Super satisfying.
Yeah, it's getting to kind of manipulate people and they don't I'm not that good at the game to do that, but
I've done it like twice, and I was like, okay, and it was simple moves. It wasn't like anything like super convoluted, but it was like, okay, I'm gonna stop that from happening so that person can kill that person.
Yeah.
And when it happens, it's great.
These are kind of card games we've been playing a lot lately, like lying, bluffing, deception games. Yeah. I've really been liking them, because we played also like Avalon, Werewolf. Yeah. Those are all kind of the same central theme, but they all feel so different. Yeah. I've been really liking them.
Anyway. Yeah, and actually Coup is like a spinoff of
Resistance
which is, Avalon is like a spinoff of Resistance, so it's very similar.
There's actually an expansion for that game.
Sweet.
It has another character, so I'm going to...
For Coup,
nice. Yes. So I'm going to probably pick that up.
Yeah, I think like having more characters, not necessarily having more characters, well, yeah, because we need a bigger deck. If you're playing with six people, like a bigger deck would be a lot more fun, I think, because it'd be a lot more mystery of
variety. You can have a bigger deck, and you can also go up to 10 people too.
Yeah.
So you have big games, so...
Yeah. All right, so the last thing I wanted to talk about before we reveal our next game was, you know, this is a video game website. We talk about comic books sometimes. We talk about movies. We talk about TV shows. There's only a couple of us that actually read.
Yeah, comic books is reading.
Yeah, comic, I guess. I'm talking about, like, novels.
Uh-huh.
It can be nonfiction books, fiction books, but books.
Yeah.
Like, long books. And, I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been reading that much lately, but I started the Stephen King book I bought when it came out and just haven't read it. And it's called November 22nd, 1963. And it's basically like a time travel book where he, from what I gather, he's going back to save Kennedy from being assassinated, because that's the date Kennedy was assassinated, kill Lee Harvey Oswald, and then see what happens.
Yeah.
And so, like, the time travel conceit is, like, there's this portal in the back of this restaurant, and the restaurant owner would go back in time and get, like, super cheap meat and bring it back with him. And so he could sell it, like, really cheap. But people were always like, oh, dude, you're probably killing cats, because how are you selling it? Like, because he's in the present time selling a hamburger for, like, $1.
Yeah.
But he's getting this, like, awesome meat back in 1960, or no, they initially go back to, like, 1955. And so that always made me laugh.
That seems such a waste of time travel.
So what happens is, if you go back, you go through the portal, you go back to 1955, you go back to the same day every time.
Yep.
When you come back to present, it's only 2 minutes have gone by. So it's like he can go and stay for 10, 20 years in the past.
Yeah.
And then he walks back through the portal, only 2 minutes have gone by. So nobody's like missing you or anything in the present. So right now he's like, I think he's like in 1961 or 62. He's like, he's posing as a substitute teacher in Texas, waiting for all this stuff to go down. And it's like, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Stephen King. I hate the endings of his books, but like everything else is usually really good.
So it has a time travel mechanic work. Like, are you far enough to know, like, if he does something, how it affects his timeline? Okay,
so he did a test before where, and the guy who told him about it did test too, where... they would save the lives of somebody or kill somebody to see if it works, and then go back to the present and things were different. So, but every time you go through, it resets.
Oh, really?
So
if you really fucked up, you just go back.
If you really fucked up, you just go back and it will reset.
Huh.
But if you want, like, say you succeed,
you can't go back.
Or you have to do it all over again.
Oh, I see.
And so, and you still age the same. So if he's going to be back for, like, he's, you know, guy in his 30s, late 30s, early 40s. If he goes back and he's got to wait 7 years to kill Lee Harvey Oswald and he fucks it up.
Yeah.
And makes the world worse.
Yeah.
And goes back and resets it. Like, he's got to, like, you know, okay, should I just let this happen as it has?
Yeah.
Because it's not that bad. Or if I go, you know, I have to do everything I've done already just to make it to where how I wanted it to make. So, like...
That's weird.
You have to, like... The opportunity cost of, like, taking the years versus affecting the world.
Yeah.
In the present, you know.
Huh. And like, so, Emily, that's great, yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
so it's really interesting. You know, he hasn't got to Lee Harvey Oswald yet. I still have a lot of the book left, and he's real close to starting to get to him. So it'll be interesting if he has to reset and go back and then do everything that he did to get to this point and how he would change it. And, like, he's betting to get money because he knows the results, you know, so...
Interesting.
It's cool.
So I actually picked up The Stand from.
Oh, it's one of my favorite books of all time.
I haven't read it, so interesting.
It's a long book.
It's a long book,
but it's so good.
All this book's really long, so
yeah, it's really good. All right, so that's it for this month's podcast. But before we go, we have to reveal what our next game is. Do you want to reveal it, Kenny?
It's your pick.
It's my pick, so I'll reveal
it. You should probably reveal it.
You just don't want to try to pronounce it, do you?
Yeah, I want to make sure I have the title right.
I have a couple ways I can pronounce it. So we're going to play Dust and Elysian Tale.
That's good.
I think that's probably the pronunciation. Right. It was a game that came out a couple years ago, basically created
by one dude.
By one dude, which is amazing. And it looks incredible, plays incredible. I think the only thing that he really didn't do was the music.
Yeah.
But he coded it. He did the graphics.
That's so crazy. Like usually when you hear about like one man game, you're like, okay, it's gonna probably look like shit, or it's gonna play like shit.
Yeah.
But he did. He knocked it out in both.
Yeah. Apparently, he did a really good job. So that's what we're gonna be playing. I know there's been people out there and on our site who have an issue with like how it looks in terms of like the they think it's furries and stuff. But whatever. Play the game. Play along with us, and then we'll be back in a month to recap.
Yep.
All right, Kenny. So this was our second episode of Backlog Commandos, where we talked about A Link Between Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. It was fun.
And we'll see you guys next month.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.